You're listening to ABC Radio, Brisbane and Queensland.
It is that segment of the show with historian Helen Gregory. Now, a few months ago, we did a segment on famous Queensland aviators, particularly Sir Charles Kingsford Smith and Bert Hinkler. Lawrence Bonney was one of the remarkable pilots we talked about briefly on that occasion, but there were other women whose feats in the air were significant, so we're going to discover all of that in just a moment with Helen. Hello, good morning, Helen.
Hello, Ashwin.
This is a fascinating topic and one, unfortunately, I hadn't even thought about. It's been glossed over in history, hasn't it?
I think it has. I think that our really remarkable women pilots have not been sufficiently recognised.
What do you think is the reason for that?
I think the glamour of Sir Charles Kingsford Smith and Bert Hinkler probably captured the public imagination. And then, of course, the daredevil pilots in the Second World War were all men. There were women who ferried planes from base to base. But the aerial combat stuff and the bombing was left to the men. So I think the focus was more on men for that reason. And they've overlooked the fact that some of the women were really quite remarkable.
Take us into this world. Where should we start?
I think we should start with Lawrence Bonney because we weren't able to really give her due credit on that earlier segment. And there's a lot to her story. She was actually born in South Africa in Pretoria in 1897. And the family moved first to London and then to Melbourne in 1903. Now, her real name was Maud Rose Bonney. We know her as Lawrence, but that comes into the story later. And she was always called Maudie, and she was an independent and rebellious child. And she went to Germany in 1911 with her parents to train as a pianist. She was a very accomplished pianist, but unfortunately she really suffered from stage fright, and so that couldn't be possible for her to have a career as a musician. And when you think of the brave things she did later, the stage fright with the piano seems quite extraordinary.
Astonishing, yes.
Yes, and she worked during the First World War for the Australian Red Cross Society and married a chap called Harry Bonney in 1917. He was a very wealthy man and he came from Brisbane. So they both moved to Brisbane and they lived ultimately at Bowen Hills. And they changed their names a bit. Lawrence called her husband Billy, and she called herself Dolores, and she shortened that to Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence is more fun. How did she become interested in flying?
Well, that's where Bert Hinkler comes into her story. Bert Hinkler in 1928 took her on her very first flight, and they went from Eagle Farm to Yerongpilly and back. Now, that doesn't sound very far. But in 1928, that really gave her such a buzz. And Hinkler thought she was very good at picking out landmarks from the air. And then in 1929, she really started her flying lessons. And she did flying while her husband played golf. And then in 1931, she gained her private pilot's license. And her husband gave her a Gypsy Moth aircraft. And she called it My Little Ship, which was rather a nice name. And so the first of her big solo flights was on Boxing Day 1931. She left Brisbane at 4:30 a.m., reached Wangaratta at 7:20 p.m. in time to have dinner with her father. So that was a very nice arrangement. And it was said at that time that that was the longest day flight ever undertaken by a woman. So she started blind flying, night flying, she studied aircraft maintenance, meteorology, and she got a commercial pilot's license in 1932. She didn't really want to have a career in aviation, but she wanted to be prepared for long-distance flying. And so she circumnavigated Australia in August, September that year and spent 95 hours, 27 minutes in the air travelling 12,800 kilometres. And on that trip, this is where her courage comes in. She survived forced landings, a collapsed undercarriage, and a mid-air collision with a plane that flew too close to her so that its passenger could take her photograph. But she did survive, and She was awarded the Qantas Trophy for 1932, and I'd say she really earned it.
I didn't even know there was a Qantas Trophy. Just a side question, is that still something?
I'm not sure that it is. I think it was more in the days where people were doing very ambitious early flights, you know, things like flying all around Australia. So I'm not sure the Qantas Trophy still exists. Somebody may well know that, though, Ashwin.
Yes. Did Loris fly overseas?
Well, she wanted to be the first woman to fly from Australia to England. And so she learned how to overhaul engines. She had her little ship modified for the journey and left Brisbane in 1933. And this is where she had another adventure. She was caught in a tropical storm and she tried to land on the coast of an island near the border between Thailand and Myanmar. And as she approached the beach, a herd of water buffalo walked into her path, so she had to land too close to the sea. The plane overturned and came to rest in the water, but she managed to free herself and get to shore. She had the plane salvaged and kept on travelling, but the plane was shipped to Calcutta for repairs. And then she resumed the flight, and in June landed in Croydon in England. So she at least got there. And she also travelled via the Indian Ocean to South Africa. And she was the first person to fly from Australia to South Africa. But sadly, in 1949, by then she was 52, her eyes weren't good enough for flying standard, so she had to stop flying. But she then went to contribute to the development of other women pilots. She presided over the Queensland branch of the Australian Women Pilots Association, and the national body awarded her its Nancy Bird Trophy in 1981, and the state branch established a trophy in her name, so there is now a Loris Bonnie Trophy. And she lived on the Gold Coast in her later years. She travelled extensively. She was very keen on bonsai as a hobby. She dressed very stylishly. She loved jewellery, especially pearls. And she died in Mermaid Beach on the 24th of February, 1994. So there is an electorate named after her and streets. So she is remembered, which I'm very pleased about.
Yeah, and she sounds like she had a fabulous life. Can you tell us about some of the other distinguished women pilots?
Well, now, this is one that I really knew nothing about until I started to dig around into this subject of the early pilots. And this was a remarkable woman, also born in 1897, like Loris Bonnie. And her name was May Bradford. But poor May wasn't quite as fortunate as Loris Bonnie. She grew up in Ruby Vale near Emerald, and she came from a very interesting family. Her father, Charles Bradford, and her mother, Emily, were the proprietors of Bradford Surprise Party Circus and Piano Orchestra. And members of the Bradford family performed musical and comedy numbers. They offered a program of acrobatic and trapeze acts, all within their own marquee, or sometimes in meeting halls. So May became, as well as being able to do all of those things, she became a very accomplished horse rider. She competed in shows and she was awarded the fastest time ever recorded by a man or a woman for hunt riding on the Brisbane Showground in 1920. And she was also an expert rifle shot. So she then also qualified as a gem expert because that was her father's secondary passion. So they did live on the gem fields, living at Ruby Vale, and her father was a gem expert. And she married a Francis Shepherd, who was a Gallipoli veteran. But sadly, when their two sons were still very young, he died from the after effects of his injuries from the war. And she went to work in a pub in Emerald. And that's where May overheard a conversation about Amy Johnston, the famous aviator, and that fired her spirit. And she started to take flying lessons in 1931. And unfortunately, she ran out of funds before she really finished the course, so she had to go back to the gem fields to sell gems and then raise money to finish her flying lessons. But she did become the only woman in Australia to hold first-class pilots A and B licences, and she had a ground engineer certificate. So she became extremely well qualified. Now, she'd have loved to have gone to England, but she couldn't afford it. But she did compete in the Adelaide Centenary Air Race in 1936 with other pilots, including Loris Bonney and Ivy Pearce, who we'll talk about in a minute. May flew her Clem Eagle plane, and she remodelled it herself for the race, and then she started then to work as a commercial pilot, taking passengers on chartered flights. But sadly, in January 1937, at Mascot in Sydney, there was an accident on takeoff, and May and her passengers died. So that was a very sad end to a very brave woman.
It's a reminder of how dangerous the aviation was at that time, and the kind of gumption you needed to be a pioneer in aviation at that time.
Absolutely, because I'm sure it was one of those things where people were probably saying, oh, nice girls wouldn't want to do that. And there were some obstacles, even for wealthy women like Loris Bonney. I think some of the obstacles were to be taken seriously.
They also seem to come from quite different backgrounds. So Bonney had stage fright. Bradford was a circus performer. It is something that suits all types. Tell us about some of the other women pilots who were perhaps a bit more fortunate.
Well, there was Ivy Pearce, and she competed in that Adelaide Centenary Air Race in 1936. And her father, she was more fortunate. When she was 16, her father gave her a Tiger Moth plane, and she had her first flying lessons. And by the time she was 18, she had her A-class pilot's license. And until 1927, women were not allowed to hold a pilot's license, but she just made it, and then she was soon flying around Surface Paradise. And she was, in 1934, she was runner-up in the Courier-Mail Flying Scholarship, and she was the only woman among five men who scored free lessons and a year's membership of the Aero Club. But unfortunately, there were no other female pilots, let alone ones who could do loops in the air and were only 18 years of age. So she had trouble finding a passenger. And the person who became her very first passenger was Brisbane's Catholic Archbishop James Dewig. And he volunteered to be her passenger on a flight from Archerfield Airport in Brisbane to Ipswich in September 1935. And afterwards, Archbishop Dewig said that Pearce had handled the plane admirably and that the machine was perfectly steady throughout the flight. And Pearce later said she wasn't too sure whether he was putting his trust in the Almighty or her during that flight. But it all ended well, and her father became her second passenger. And she became very good at air acrobatics, as they then called aerobatics. And she was one of the first women pilots to try that, and because it's very, very difficult. And she was, in a way, a real daredevil. She won many air races, and she was the youngest pilot in that Adelaide Centenary Air Race. And she would get lost sometimes, and she would sometimes fly very low over railway stations so she could read the names on the platforms to know where she was. And she married a fellow pilot, a chap called Ernst Jason Hassard. And three female pilots did a flyover for their wedding, which I thought was lovely. But she had finished flying by 1950 and started another career. She became a very successful fashion industry person. She opened her first boutique in Surface Paradise in 1946. She had designed a lot of her own flying outfits, and her later designs appeared in the fashion magazine Vogue, and her collection was showcased in the Middle East, Hong Kong, and in America. And she was also, like Loris Bonney, an excellent pianist, and she died in 1998. But so she was remarkable, and yet one that we very rarely hear about.
Can you bring us into the modern era and talk about some of the women pilots who are more familiar in recent times?
Well, I think one we just can't overlook is Beryl Young. Now, Beryl Young became extremely well known in Queensland, especially in the 1970s and 80s. And she was bitten by the flying bug after she went on a joy flight in a Moth Minor when she was only 16. And, of course, she had flying lessons and became an extremely competent pilot. And she is best known because she was the pilot who flew the Queensland Premier Joe Bjelke-Petersen around the state, and is said to have helped him to perfect his flying technique. He also had a license, but she also helped him to perfect his technique. And she met, even though she was a person well and truly of the mid to late 20th century, she met some of the pioneers. She met, for instance, Nancy Bird Walton, and she was twice awarded the Australian Women's Pilots Association's Nancy Bird Award. And she was one of the first pupils of Sir Charles Kingsford Smith. So Beryl Young connects the early days of wonderful female pilots flying and later times. So I think she is remarkable as well.
It is a fascinating history that needs a much stronger spotlight. Helen Gregory, thank you for coming on today and sharing that with us.
That's my pleasure, Ashwin.
This is ABC Radio, Brisbane and Queensland.